You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, the movement towards a waterfront stadium in Auckland took a huge leap forward with new details unveiled. The proposal from the Auckland Waterfront Consortium is for a $1.8 billion stadium on Bledisloe Wharf that won't cost taxpayers a cent. Billed as a new iconic landmark, the stadium could be a reality within a decade under the new plan, which would see parts of the waterfront and the existing Eden Park Stadium redeveloped into residential property. I spoke with Phil O'Reilly, a design consultant on the project, and started by asking him what exactly the proposal is.
Well, it's for a sunken stadium on the waterfront, on the tip of the Bledisloe Wharf, that would effectively replace the existing car park facility and become a national stadium and hopefully an enduring icon of the city.
Now, you came up with this design initially, didn't you?
Yeah, I came up with this idea, yes.
How did you come to the concept of having a sunken stadium?
Well, I noticed that the first proposal under Helen Clark, it died largely, not completely, died on the massive physical object between the city and the harbour and the sight lines and here that you'd have this monolithic structure between the city and the harbour. So just turn the logic around, go down instead of up, and then you start getting rid of a lot of those problems. And then you start adding other virtues at the same time. So it was just a sort of just think outside the box. Normally, if you're looking one direction, turn around 180 degrees, and sometimes the solution is there.
Has it been done before? Is there some sort of overseas example that you can look to prove that it's actually feasible?
As far as I know, no, it hasn't been done before. In fact, when we first floated the idea and it came out in the Herald, the developers of the Twickenham Stadium got in touch with us and said, wow, that's a cool idea. So they ought to know. No, it hasn't been done before. And the engineering issues aren't showstoppers at all. I mean, this is perfectly within you know, the capability of modern engineering, so it's not a problem. I mean, the Britomart transport terminal is below sea level
right.
already. Yeah.
Why does Auckland need a stadium like this, do you think?
Well, for a start, we've got a stadium, and I think we pretty much all agree it's in the wrong place. So we probably need a national stadium. So the logical place, the most exciting place, is put it down on the waterfront. And Mount Eden Park, obviously, is, you know, sitting in the middle of a suburb. It's got no you know, communication channels, transport links. So it's, you know, amenities the city needs. Also, I think in Asia Pacific, you know, we're competing for hearts and minds, for investment, for cultural, creative credibility. You need to do something audacious in this world. And Auckland is, it's a gangly youth looking to do something like that. And this could be it. This is audacious, and I think it's not just a local amenity. I think it has a global and definitely a regional significance, and it would mark Auckland as dynamic. See, we, you know, innovation, it's a verb. It's not an adjective. We tend to talk of it as an adjective. A verb, it's a doing word. Yes, so this is a physical manifestation of our aspirations to be dynamic and creative.
When you talk about it being a national stadium, I mean, it's still going to be in Auckland. What sets it aside from other stadiums that different parts of the country already have? Why is it national?
Well, I only say that, and it might sound a bit presumptuous, because you could probably say that it replaces Eden Park, which is probably considered, it would replace Eden Park, is considered a national stadium. It wouldn't negate or downgrade the regional and the other stadia at all, but it could be described in that sense.
And in terms of replacing Eden Park, how does that actually work? Is that a possibility? How do you get rid of Eden Park?
Well, as I understand it, Eden Park would be turned over to urban development, and the revenues from that would contribute to building the stadium.
And does this involve the council having to agree to do that, or is it or is Eden Park private?
Well, there's a lot of parties and stakeholders that have to agree to this. The bottom line is it wouldn't require New Zealand taxpayers or Auckland ratepayers to fund it. So it would come effectively zero cost to them. So that's, you know, makes it possible, makes it doable.
But it involves a lot of different parties coming to the table.
Most definitely, yeah. And the political will, you know, to do it. The civic will to do it. I think the need is there, undoubtedly. When you just look at the, say, constraints on Eden Park, keeps coming up against that. Manifestly, we need a large stadium that can operate 24/7 without those constraints. So this would do it.
Do you think Aucklanders want to get rid of Eden Park? Is there a desire for that?
I would imagine there's definitely a nostalgia. It's historic. There's a lot of affection for Eden Park, but also New Zealanders, not just Aucklanders. I think we're kind of pragmatic, and we in some ways have a healthy disrespect for history. Maybe it's just because we're a young nation and we left a lot of history behind. So yes, there is a definite affection and love of Eden Park, but I think that we could take the paradigm shift. I think we could handle that. They've done it overseas with famous stadia and moved them, and the world didn't stop revolving. So yeah, I think there's a need in Auckland. And
going back to the fact that it's going to be on the waterfront, how do you deal for the future, climate change, tsunamis, those sorts of things? How do you know that it's not going to get flooded?
Yeah, that's a good question. For a start, it would be built high enough on a boom that allowed for sea level rise. I understand with tsunamis, and we've done deep modelling on this, tsunamis are mitigated by Great Barrier Island and the Gulf Islands, which break up tsunamis. So we luckily in Auckland have a real tsunami barrier. Now, the other thing is that if we had a tsunami that came in to such a degree in Auckland, hitting the stadium would be the least of our problems. It would go,
right.
It would inundate the CBD, you know what I mean? So we shouldn't be building anything anywhere down there if that was the case. But we have pretty good tsunami barriers, luckily. Well,
what about things like liquefaction, if there's an earthquake, those sorts of things? Are these things that have been taken into account?
That's a good point. It would sit in white matter, solid clay on the bottom. Liquefaction happens when you have infill, and this would be sitting on solid seabed.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I'd sort of want to know about the design in terms of the waterfront is, I mean, if you say it's going to still be built up, how do you mitigate it still being an eyesore?
Well, I guess that's a subjective word, eyesore. Personally, I think it's a lovely lyrical design, and this is Petal Thorpe and Richard Goldie. Those guys have just won a huge contract for our latest high-rise in Auckland. They're very talented, and I think it's a beautiful design. You can see through it. Conversely, if you put up a conventional stadium, and for us to make it a significant above-ground conventional stadium, we're competing with the Bird's Nest in Beijing, you know. Mm. We'd have to do something so amazing.
Right.
But fundamentally, they're inward-looking box. This is in the ground. The aesthetic, the only thing is just the roof, which is like a cloud. You can see straight through underneath it. So I wouldn't call it an eyesore. I'd call it a thing of beauty, actually. Very, very light, lyrical structure. As I say, compared with above-ground stadium.
Yes, of course.
It can be horrendous, really, yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.